Now, you guys know how I love Scripture. And I love to get through the Scripture and cross-reference Scripture and all that. And I usually bring like 30 of them. Well, I brought several again today. But I'm keeping it all in Romans, so this should make it a little easier. We'll try. Next door, we have a great big lectern over there on wheels. It's on wheels, it's so big. And it's a little too tall for me, but it's pretty cool because you can stack a Bible on top and your notes under the bottom. It's pretty handy. Especially if you're me, because my notes are absolutely insane. I don't know how I decipher them sometimes. That's today's message. It's chaos, right? So, what I was pondering over the week, and actually this went in a couple different directions, and was about obedience. And, you know, it really kind of piggybacks off the last two words I'd given. But last night, about 7 o'clock, the whole thing shifted gears. And so I was up till about 9 o'clock tweaking this, so it's fresh. I want to talk a little bit about the do's and the don'ts. So, if we go back to Genesis, God had created the heavens, the earth, the flowers, the grass, the trees, the beasts, the birds of the air, etc. Then he created man. Does anybody remember the very first, at least documented, conversation or verbal exchange between God and man? It's funny because right out of the gate, God said, don't. Now, this is before the fall of man. This is before we sin. But the first thing he tells him is don't. He says, you got all this area here, this entire garden. Don't eat from that tree over yonder. Very first thing he says to man, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what was the very first thing man did? Exactly what God told him not to do. Take it a little bit further. If you look at the Ten Commandments, anybody know the Ten Commandments off the top of your head, by the way? Well, that's right. It's so funny because I can get like, 8 out of 10. There's always one or two that elude me, and I have to go, crap. And then you look it up and you go, oh, yeah. But if you read them, 8 of the Ten Commandments are don'ts. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. And so I'm like, why in the world is that the case? God would tell Moses, he would tell him later, said, take the people into the land of milk and honey, but I ain't going. He says that they were an obstinate people. And he says, I ain't going because I might destroy them. And I think if God were from Alabama, it would sound like, you know, what I tell my kids. If I have to spend another minute in this van with you, I'm going to kill you. You know, you ask me one more time, I'm going to throw you out. And I just can't help but think that was kind of where God was at. I love you, but you just over and over and over and over and over, you just don't get it. If I have to go to the land, if I go up to the promised land with you, I'm going to destroy you. I'll just wipe you out. And why is that? Because we're a stubborn people. We are a stubborn people. So let's look at Romans chapter 5. And I tell you that, that's kind of the precursor. Because to understand, for me, all right, this is me speaking, for me to understand why we had all these ordinances and rules, I was like, why did God lay down all this structure? Well, he didn't do that right out of the gate. First thing he said is don't screw up. And what do? We screwed up. So then he says, okay, I'm going to build some boundaries here. I'm going to give you some guidelines. And those guidelines just continued to develop because we continued to mess them up. After the fall of man, our sin made us unable, incapable of staying true. So Romans chapter 5, let's look at verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I highlighted those in my Bible. Those are important. We'll kind of come back to that in just a second. Not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as the one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. Speaking of Adam, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin had not imputed where there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression. Now, this is where things get sideways. The free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of one many died, much more did the grace of God, the gift by the grace of the man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from the transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. Grace, forgiveness, is here because of the condemnation, because of the sin. But they do two totally different things. For if by the transgression of one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Again, I mark that. Those who have obtained the gift of righteousness will reign in life through Christ. So then, as through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Pause. Through one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. One more again. Through one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Even so, through the obedience of the one, the many were made righteous. One man messed up, one man fixed it. One through an act of disobedience, one through an act of obedience. Go over another page or two to Romans chapter 7, look at verse 1. Romans 7, 1. He says, or do you not know, brethren, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives? For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living, but if her husband dies, she's released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is still living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. Therefore, you were also made to die to the law through the body of Christ, that you might be joined to one another to him who was raised from the dead. Get your highlighters ready, or if you're on a phone, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you do that on your tablets. That we might bear fruit for God. For while we were in the faith, or excuse me, in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, I know this is, I hate to say preaching to the choir, that's a horrible thing to say in church. But I think, given this crowd, I think I can look around and say, hey, we all know this, right? We've all heard this. I've heard it 1,000 times. I've read it probably 2,000 times. And was still convicted last night as I sat at my kitchen table. Like Adam. Have any of y'all, those of you who have got kids, I bet you do, y'all ever seen the movie Monsters University? There's this little scene in it, and they're like, they're going to run through this little obstacle course of these little glowing things that are toxic, you know, and they make them swell up if they touch them. And everybody's like, ooh. But there's this one cat that says, I want to touch it. That's like us with sin, man. We just, it looks so cool. Looks so good. I want to touch it. And then what happens as soon as we do? Shouldn't have done that. Yeah. So what he's saying there in Romans 7, we've died to sin in our flesh, and through Jesus we are a new creation. Much like a marriage. If a husband or a wife, they've made a commitment to each other, but if one passes, they're now freed from that commitment because the other doesn't exist. That covenant was kept by the two parties. One party is now no longer there, so the covenant is fulfilled. They're released from it. We aren't bound to the law anymore because we have a covenant with Jesus. The new us is bound to Jesus. Now, I had a gem moment yesterday where I got all off in the weeds like I'd been on Benadryl. Because if you think about it, as Gentiles, us, we were never actually under the law to start with. I mean, we were all under the law, but the covenant wasn't made with us, right? It was made with the Jews. So I thought about it, and I said, you know, before Jesus extended it to us, we couldn't fulfill the law in any way. And I was like, wow, so through Jesus, the law is fulfilled for us through our relationship with him, but without his relationship, we're not grafted into the family for which there's even, forget, you know, there's a fulfillment of the law to be had anyway. Boy, I got all kind of wonky. And I started chasing that until I got dizzy and I just gave up. But that's what he's driving at here. The new us is now bound to Jesus. The old us is dead. So therefore, the law is fulfilled, the covenant was fulfilled because the old us is dead. He no longer exists if we're in Jesus. The new us, in relationship with Jesus, the new covenant, the new relationship, the new arrangement, exempt from the law because the law has been fulfilled. We are bound to Jesus, which means we are bound to grace. We are bound to forgiveness. All good things, right? Wow. That's encouraging. And then I go back to the obedience part. See, the law, it dealt with imperfections. The things that we just couldn't hold up our end of the deal. The law dealt with that. But it never made anybody perfect. What the law really did was show us the extent of our sin. It would expose the seriousness of our disobedience. On the other hand, the blood would cover our sins, showing the extent and the goodness of His grace. Obedience and disobedience have two different outcomes, and they come from two different places. So obedience, let's talk about that for a minute. I kind of pulled a couple of scriptures out here, and this is not exhaustive, right? This is just a couple that popped in the top of my head whenever I was doing this. But in the beginning, we had a bunch of don'ts because we couldn't keep from messing up. We don't have to worry about that now. But what do we have instead of a bunch of don'ts? We have a bunch of do's. Things like Matthew 5:16, let your light shine so men will see and glorify God. Let your light shine so other men will see and glorify God. Which means I can't hide. I can't lay low. And I can't stay dim. Matthew 5:44, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. Really? Do I have to? I don't want to, exactly. Some people, like me, are hard to love, right? There's people we don't want to love. In fact, there's some people that not liking them, not loving them, actually feels pretty good. You know who I'm talking about. Everybody's got one. But Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Is there anybody that can do that in their flesh? Then in Matthew 10, He'd pulled His disciples together, released them, gave them authority. In verse 7 and 8, He says, go, preach the kingdom of heaven at hand, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons, and freely give. That wasn't a suggestion. He didn't say, if you happen to run across somebody, you know, and you feel like, you know, sharing the gospel, you know, if you're up to it, go for it. He told us to do these things. John 13:34, love one another as I have loved you. And there's a part of me that goes, I'm not even close to coming to that. I mean, the love that He shows me, knowing me, I'm going, I can't come close to that kind of love. But I'm supposed to try, right? Matthew 10:27, what He tells us in the dark, proclaim in the light. He says, shout it from the rooftops. There's many others. I thought of a few while I was in the shower this morning. Yeah. He tells us to go and do these things. He has released us, appointed us, anointed us, given us authority to do these things. Now, why would He ask us? I mean, we're in relationship with Jesus. We now belong to Him. It would be nice to say in the honeymoon phase where there's no responsibilities, there's no work, there's no relationship development. It's just all bliss, right? But somebody's got to rear and raise children. Somebody's got to cook dinner. Somebody's got to go to work and earn some pay. Somebody's got to pay the bills. Somebody's got to clean the house. These are all part of a working relationship. Paint your own picture there how that works in your house. I don't know. But He asks us to do these things. He tells us to do these things because they glorify God. Go back to the obedience of the one. He was obedient to the point of death. And why? Not my will, but your will be done. Right? Obedience to the point of death, not for his own, but for the goodness set before him, he would endure the cross. Because it was what the Father wanted. And there, he said, glorify me that I may glorify you. Come on. That's obedience. How was he able to do that? I don't know a man anywhere. I've never met anyone that could do what Jesus did. Talking about blessing those that persecute you. Oh, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. As they're hurling insults, they've beaten him. Forgive them. They don't know what they do. As he was after the Father's heart. So let's look over at Romans chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Well, we kind of covered that. We're free from the law of sin and death. Born into life. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, because again, the law wasn't broken, man was. But because of man, the law could not make us perfect. So that's what he's referring to. God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. I had that underlined. I had it highlighted, and yesterday it now has a box around it. I'm running out of ideas. That the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Obedience leads to life. Disobedience leads to death. Jesus was obedient to the point of death, doing only what he saw the Father doing. Never once being disobedient. And why was that? It wasn't that he was incapable of sin. Jesus could have sinned. He chose not to. He couldn't have been our pure and perfect sacrifice and now our great high priest if he was incapable of sin. He was just above it. Because he was one and the same with God. Remember when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit fell upon him. Verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. I want to touch it. But those who are according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. See, our flesh didn't, doesn't, and will not be obedient. It won't obey God. Jesus knew this. That's why he said, you must deny yourself daily, crucify yourself on a daily basis, because your flesh, my flesh, will not be obedient to God. And what did we read back in Romans, I think it was chapter 5? That we were given life so that we could what? Do good works in his name. Our flesh is incapable of producing good works for God. Our flesh didn't, doesn't, and won't obey God. If we follow our flesh, walk according to our flesh, as it says there. We can't please God. However, by following the Spirit, we are obedient to God's will. By following the Spirit, by default, the Spirit will not lead us in places we do not need to go, to do things that we do not need to do. So by default, by following the Spirit, we please God because we are obeying His commands. We are following His will. And even more so, as the Spirit leads, He empowers. So by following the Spirit, following His ways, He empowers us to be obedient. A man could not sit facing what Jesus was facing in his flesh and go through with that. But empowered by the Holy Spirit, he set his mind on the Spirit, on the heart of God, and said, "Not my will, but yours." Now that's heavy, right? That's heavy. That's hard. But put that in perspective. Let your light shine so that other men may see that they may glorify God. All of a sudden, that doesn't seem as difficult as it did a moment ago. To love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you doesn't seem quite as difficult as it did a few moments ago. By following the Spirit, we find ourselves obedient. And through obedience, we find ourselves staying true to His Word, keeping His commandments, staying, walking, living under the grace. More importantly, in that relationship with Christ, being who we were called to be, doing what we were called to do, the good works that He had set us for. So remember, a couple of weeks ago we were talking about being the body and how every piece is important, that every part is important, that each one of us is significant, each placed as God had called us to be. And then we talked about how the only way we could be a functioning part of the body is to be who we were called to be, accepting that, walking in that, embracing it, and being the best us that we can be. This is the next step. When you become who you're called to be, think Peter. Right? Jesus asked Peter, "Who do they say I am?" Well, actually asked all the disciples. You know, one said, "Well, you're this, you're that, some say this." And Peter says, "But you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "What? Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you?" Peter professed or proclaimed who Jesus was. Jesus in turn said, "And you are Peter." At that point he was Simon. He says, "You are Peter, and upon you I will build my church." Cool. Rock on. I now know who I am created to be. But what did Peter have to do? Peter had to be obedient. What would have happened on the day of Pentecost if Peter says, "Man, they're saying we're drunk, they're calling us crazy, and they want to put us in jail. I'm going fishing. Can't do this." Where would we be? What would have happened? The rock on which the church was built. What would have happened if he wasn't obedient? What would have happened if he hadn't followed the Spirit and said, "I will not give in to the mind of man, but I will obey God"? Just like the disobedience of one caused many to fall, and the obedience of one caused many to be saved. We're not talking about Jesus. We put Jesus up on a pedestal, right? And we go, "Well, that's untouchable. He's Jesus. We can't do that. He was perfect." Yep, He sure was. But we have plenty of other examples. Read Hebrews. Talk about Abraham. Let's talk about sacrificing a son. Let's talk about Paul going to prison. Let's talk about Stephen. James. There's plenty of people that were obedient who weren't Jesus. There's plenty of people like Peter, like Tony, like David, like Richard, who all they have to do is follow the Spirit, be who we were called to be, and mindful, not that the kingdom hinges on what we do. God's bigger than that. But God's will for this place and time, for the people around you, it may very well be directly linked to your obedience. And it may very well be directly impacted or affected by your disobedience. I have to remember that. When he says, pray for your enemies and those who persecute you, sometimes I think that's for me, to grow me, to show me that maybe my heart isn't where it needs to be. Then I also have to remember that, you know what, maybe he wants to minister to those who are persecuting. The very scripture we just read, written by a guy named Paul, who was a bad dude. Where would we be without his writings? Where would we be as a kingdom? God was still going to establish what he wanted to do, but think of all the churches that he established and maintained through Paul, being obedient. So, we cannot be obedient without following the Spirit. Are you led by the Spirit? We cannot be obedient without being faithful. Much like a marriage. If you're married to a man or a woman, and you're having relationships with multiple other men or women, that relationship's not going to be very solid, right? Well, what about our relationship with Jesus? Are we faithful to him, or do we treat Jesus like our friend with benefits? Let's just be honest. Do we come to church on Sunday like it's going home for dinner, but then we leave and go see our boyfriend or our girlfriend or whoever? Because we have an open relationship. He's cool with this. He knows my heart. You better believe he does. Do we follow his will, or do we follow ours? Depending on what day of the week it is, some days I'm better than others. Y'all have heard me say that before. He does a lot of things in spite of me. Do you walk by the faith, or do you walk by the flesh? Those are the questions we need to ask ourselves when we're talking about obedience and disobedience. The law has been fulfilled through Jesus, but there are still some expectations. As I said last week, he doesn't need us. God doesn't need us. He wants us. He wants us. For us to please him, we have to be faithful. We have to be obedient. So for ourselves, obedience is a good thing. It helps to keep us in the place where we're supposed to be. Right? For the will of God, as people carrying out his commands, as people carrying the gospel into the nations. We're not required, but we're desired. It's important that we're obedient. And for the body, just like a hand, who when you say, pick that up, and instead it goes in its pocket. Now the left hand's got to pick up the slack. Are we doing what we're called to do? And man, that's a whole nother message, by the way, that we could open up about obedience. We could get into things such as tithe. We could get into things such as prayer. This could go on for days, right? That's not my intent. My intent is to challenge you the way he challenged me last night, to evaluate myself and say, where am I obedient and where am I not? Where are my areas for improvement? Mine was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Sundays I do pretty good. Most Sundays. Yes, I know. But this is a work and living relationship, y'all. This is full time. This is life and death. This is the most real thing we will ever have. More real than your mother, more real than your father, more so than your husband or wife, more so than your children, more so than your job. This is the most real thing, the most significant thing we will ever have. And it's so brief. Man, I'm getting old. I know I'm not the oldest person in this room. I'm far from the youngest. But the one thing I'm learning is time flies. Time flies. The older I get, the faster it's going. Somebody told me, said, it's not passing me by, it's running me over. It happens quick. Let's get it right as much as we can. Let's get it right as much as we can. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Father, thank you for your word, for your truth. Thank you for your spirit. Lord, I ask that every one of us who chose to be here today would be empowered to be who you called us to be. To hear your voice and act upon it. To know your commands and keep them. Grace, Lord, to be your people. To be perfect as you are perfect. And to walk in that. Lord, by our lives, may we be a sacrifice of praise. And give you glory. And we ask these things in the name of your Son. Amen.